read tonight from the book of Matthew. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I enjoyed so much ministering here Sunday night. And I shared a video with you on Sunday night about how God has put in my heart to mobilize 1,000 points of light, 1 million individuals to pray for revival in America, another spiritual awakening. And as I've been praying about tonight, this scripture keeps going over and over in my spirit. I want to share with you, and then we're going to pray a while together, because I love to pray. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 25, verse 1, page 683, Matthew 25, verse 1, then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Somebody say foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered and said, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went out to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But the Lord answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, you know not when the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. And, you know, I've heard all kinds of different versions of this parable, this teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've heard it even taught that 5 foolish did not have the Holy Ghost or did not speak in tongues, and because they didn't speak in tongues, they couldn't go to heaven. But I don't believe that's true, although I do love to speak in tongues. You know that. Rondo sikite robo ote. Hallelujah. So here's where 10 virgins. I mean, they were evidently Christians. They knew the Lord. They were virgins. But 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. And the Bible said the foolish were not able to go in to the door of opportunity because their lamps had gone out and they did not have sufficient oil in their lamps in order to go in. Their lamps had gone out. And I believe that one of the major challenges that we have as a church today is allowing our lamps to go out. No oil in our lamps and no anointing. And I know that when we read in the Bible talks about oil representing the anointing. And if we as a church or we as individuals are going to be able to do the will of God, take the next step, there must be an anointing in our lives. And the lamp can go out. I was reading today from the book of 1 Samuel when it talks about Eli's day. And Eli was the priest, and things were not in order. And the Bible said in 1 Samuel chapter 3 that the lamp went out. That the lamp went out. And because the lamp went out, there was no anointing upon the house of God, on the place of God. And God had to raise up a little boy by the name of Samuel who called to him. And he relit the lamp. And we know that incredible things happened in the land of Israel, and the church at that particular time. So the thing I'm saying tonight is that we, in order to accomplish the will of God as a church, we as an individual, to accomplish the will of God, the oil must be burning in our lamps. That is a congregational word, and that is an individual word, because the lamp can go out. Now, in the power tower, there is the picture of a praying man. And the picture of the praying man survived the tornado. And in the power tower, there is an altar. And the altar survived the tornado. The cross, the altar, the picture of the praying man, the two women that were praying. Somehow God protects the place of prayer. But the picture came out of a church in the Metroplex that at one time was calling the nation to pray. At one time, the pastor of that church, who'd been a friend of mine for a long time, had been able to mobilize. That's before the days of all of the emails and the internet. He'd been able to mobilize 300,000 people across America to pray. And people came to that church in the Metroplex, which one year was the fastest growing church in America. And people came to that church from across America, and they came from nations, because I was there for a couple of years. And they came from nations of the world to find the place where the people were praying, where they had heard about the series, Could You Not Tarry 1 Hour? And so the people came to pray, and they would say to me, we have heard about this church. I remember a person from Africa, a minister from Africa, came and said, I came all the way from Africa to pray here. But something happened, and the anointing was lifted, and the lamp went out, and the doors to the prayer place closed. And so I was given the picture of the praying man out of that prayer room. And I was given the altar out of that prayer room. And I brought it to a church in Fort Worth, Texas, where the pastor said, when I shared the vision of Make a Chain, the pastor said, we can do it here. Right here, right now. 24 hours a day. And so we took the picture of the praying man that I'd brought out of this church that at one time was calling the nations and the nations to pray. And I brought the picture out of that place. I was given the picture and I was given the altar. And we took and placed it in the power tower. And it represents a lamp that was burning in one place that went out, but the altar and the picture was brought to another place where the lamp is burning. But will it be said? Will it be said one day that people got weary to pray and people got tired? And they lost the passion and the vision. And finally, we could not gather enough people to pray. And one day the lamp goes out. And there's no one there to answer the phone and to pray for the people. And the lamp goes out and the door is shut. And somebody comes and says, can I have the picture of the praying man? And can I have the altar? Because I know that it used to be in the place where the pastor of the church was calling the nation to pray. Hundreds of thousands of people had responded. And then we heard that there was a place in Fort Worth, Texas, where there was great passion and great desire and great energy to pray. But we heard that the lamp went out there. Could we have the picture and could we have the altar? Because we know of a place now where there's great passion and people desire to pray. And can we take it to that place? I remember when I was a boy, my dad was a Pentecostal pastor. And I remember that I was about 9 or 10 years old, and this young man came to minister in our church. And he stayed in our home because we didn't have the money as a church to put him even in a motel. There wasn't even a motel, I guess, in Comanche, Oklahoma at that time. Just the remodeled army barrack where the pastor and his wife and boy lived. And I remember they invited this young man to come and minister. And my mom said to him, I will have the meals at a certain time. And he said, no, I don't need anything to eat during the day. Just give me a basket of fruit. And I remember we only had two bedrooms, my parents and my bedroom, and I moved out of my bedroom and we only had one bathroom, and the evangelist was there all day. And I remember I would go into the bathroom next door to my bedroom and I could hear him groaning and praying and travailing in the spirit. All day long, he would walk back and forth and with just that basket of fruit, and he would pray. And then at night, I saw with my own eyes some of the most incredible miracles in that man's life. And he was so tender and so passionate. And he had such a heart for God. And I was just overwhelmed as a little boy at the miracles I saw and the commitment that he had and the energy and the passion for God and the anointing that was upon his life. The moment that he would stand and begin to minister, the glory of God would come and the anointing would come. And then years later, fast forward, I'm in Oklahoma City, I'm a pastor, and I hear that this man is still alive. And I called him up and I said, would you please come and minister in the church that I pastor in Oklahoma City? And he came and had such anticipation. But when he got there, I knew the lamp had gone out in his life and there was no anointing. He was very negative from the platform and he began to make financial demands and he began to speak roughly to me after the service about certain things that did not happen. And I was crushed. Somewhere in the process of time, the lamp went out in his life. And now he's an old man and he's cranky and he's rude and the lamp has gone out and there's no anointing. There's nothing happening in his life. They took the picture and they took the altar and moved it somewhere else. And one of the saddest scriptures in the Bible is in 1 Samuel 3, and the lamp of God went out. And when I drive by that church where I ministered so many, many times, my heart is grieved because the lamp went out, they gave me the picture and the altar and shut the door. Can it happen to us as an individual? Yes. Can it happen to us as a congregation? Yes. What about the five foolish virgins? The oil had left the lamp. There was no fire in their altar. The lamp had gone out. They were Christians, they were virgins, but they did not sense the day. They did not understand the day. The Bible says in the book of Lamentations 1 and 9, she did not consider her destiny, therefore her collapse was awesome. And in my 45 years of ministry, I have seen so many people come and so many people go. That's why I'm thankful for a pastor that has came, and has stayed. And there's a lot of people across the Metroplex, a lot of guys that start up churches or pastor churches, and they seem to be making such an incredible splash, but I've seen them come and I've seen them go. And in 1985, the three largest churches in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex do not even exist today. Three men that literally appeared to be shaking the Metroplex and the nation. Those churches do not exist today. People can come and people can go. And the one reason I love Calvary Cathedrals, there's a pastor and his wife that have been here for 48 years and they have stayed. They have kept the lamp burning on the altar. But it cannot just be them. It must be us as a congregation. It must be us as a corporate body. We don't want it to be said that the lamp went out in the power tower. The lamp went out at Calvary Cathedral. So I wrote this down today. In the power tower, there's a picture of a praying man. There's an altar. Those came from a church in the Metroplex that no longer occupied the prayer room. The lamp or the light went out because there was no fire on the altar. And there was no fire because there was no oil. No anointing, because where there is oil, there is anointing. Where there is anointing, there is and where there is no anointing, there is no power. And where there is no power, there is no demonstration. And there is no energy. And where there is no energy, there is no movement. And where there is no movement, there is no rhythm. And where there is no rhythm, there is no momentum. And where there is no momentum, there is no vision. And where there is no vision, there is no revelation. And where there is no revelation, there is no prayer. And where there is no prayer, the light goes out. And we shut the door and leave, and someone comes and takes the altar, the praying man, and the pulpit where Jonathan Edwards ministers and carries them to another place. The five foolish virgins missed their day of visitation, missed the opportunity to move into a new dimension. It's not just about heaven and hell. It's about going through a door of opportunity. And Sunday night, the Holy Ghost began to speak to me, and I declare as a prophetic voice to this church that there is a door of opportunity about to open for us as a church, for Calvary Cathedral. A door of opportunity that will impact the United States of America, that will impact cities across this nation, across this land. Because we have been praying and we have been preparing. And we must not miss our opportunity. We must not miss the opportunity to go through the door. We must not slumber and we must not sleep. And we must not grow weary. Hallelujah. In the Song of Solomon, I was reading today, there's a discourse that goes on between the Shulamite woman, which is the church, and the beloved, which is the Lord. And I found a very interesting passage here in Song of Solomon chapter 5. And it said here, it says in verse 2, I sleep. This is the church speaking. But my heart is awake It is the voice of my beloved. He knocked, saying, open for me, my sister, my love, my dove, my perfect one. Verse 3, but I've taken off my robe. How can I put it on again? I've washed my feet. My beloved, verse 4, my beloved put his hand by the latch of the door. My heart yearned for him. I rose to open for my beloved. Verse 6, I opened for my beloved, but my beloved had turned away and was gone. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. The watchmen who went about the city found me. They struck me. They wounded me. The keepers of the walls took my veil away from me. I charge, O daughters of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved, tell him I'm lovesick. Verse 10 says, my beloved is white and ruddy and chief among 10,000. And then the description of the Lord is given. Chapter 6, verse 1 says, where has your beloved gone, O fairest among women? Where has your beloved turned aside that we may seek him with you? Verse 3, I'm my beloved's, my beloved is mine. And then the beloved speaks, the Lord speaks in Song of Solomon, chapter 6, verse 4. Oh, my love, you are beautiful as Tirzah, lovely as Jerusalem, awesome as an army with banners. My dove, my perfect one, is the only one. My daughter saw her and called her blessed. Who is she who looks forth as the morning, fair as the moon? And then the Lord begins to describe his church. And here's a picture. If you want to read, just go through and read the Song of Solomon. But it's a picture of the Lord coming to knock on the door of the church to have relationships and fellowship with the church. But the church is too sleepy. They've already taken off for their robe for the night. And they're tired and they're weary and they just can't get up and go to the door. And once they get to the door, finally they decide, well, I've been slumbering and sleeping. I guess I'll go to the door. But once they get to the door, the beloved is gone. And they go out into the streets. And the Shulamite woman, she goes out into the streets and she gets beat up and wounded and battered. But here comes the beloved again. And he does not see her as all beat up and battered and ugly and torn. He reaches out. He reaches out to her and begins to describe how much he loves her and how he wants to have the relationship. And I want to say to you, ladies and gentlemen, I believe that the church in America is slumbering and sleeping. Gene and I travel almost every week to some church and begin to take the pulse and I'm seeing people, Christians, becoming so weary and so indifferent and so consumed with their own thing and so afraid and so anxious about life and what could be happening to America and the economy. And there's a spirit of sadness and heaviness and there's a knock on the door. Come and pray and come and be with me. But it's like I've already taken off my robe and I'm going to bed and I'm tired and I'm weary. The Bible said while the foolish virgin slumbered and slept, they missed their opportunity. I do believe that the Holy Ghost desires to pour out His Spirit upon this nation one more time. I do believe that God is going to give us an opportunity to see a major revival in every major city. But there must be some church in America that begins to mobilize, that begins to call the church to pray and to wake up out of their slumber and sleep, because it is not too late yet. If it was too late, the Lord would not have said, why don't you call 1,000 points of light to pray? If it had been too late, He would have not said that. I still believe there's hope. I believe the Lord is coming, even though the church seems to be wounded and battered and distraught and heavy. He's come again and he begins to describe his church and how much he loves his church in America and what he wants to do for this church. But there must be somebody that would give a cry, a battle cry, somebody that would blow a trumpet. And I believe there is a commission. I believe there is a mandate upon Calvary Cathedral International in Fort Worth, Texas. People that have been going up to the power tower and praying around the clock for these past 17 years in a church that has been seeking God. And I believe that God has anointed us and given us a mandate to cry out to the church in America to awaken out of their slumber and sleep so that we will not miss our day of visitation. We will not miss our time, our opportunity to see God work in this nation one more time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the lamp of God went out. But we stir ourselves tonight from any tiredness or weariness, from any fatigue. We stir ourselves. The prophet said, I'm going to stir myself to take hold of God. And can we as a church stir ourselves out of any spirit of slumber or sleep? Can we stir ourselves tonight and say we are going to go a little farther? And Jesus said to his disciples, let us go a little farther. And they sung a hymn and went out. Can we sing a hymn? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How great is our God. We can sing that one more time. Why don't we just get on our feet tonight? We're going to pray. Would you come and pray with me tonight? Would you just come and stand here tonight? Ebranko shele brankata la brosikete. Ebrankite rebeshekuta rebrokuta mesete bekete. Ebotele mandere brikara mashako rebroku. And let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And the man of God said to Esther, who knows but what we have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Hallelujah. 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 It is not 1993 and it's not 1994. Or 95 or 96 or 2002. It's now 2012. And we have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. And we are well able. We are well able to cry out to the church in America. The church, the distracted church, the disconnected church, the disgusted church, the disappointed church, the weary church. We're able to cry out to them and say there's a door of opportunity opening for the Holy Ghost to sweep across this nation one more time. A major revival in every major city, and young people will rise up out of obscurity to preach the gospel. Young people will see visions and old men will dream dreams. But together
we will see God work in this nation again, 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 again. Hallelujah. And we will not let the lamp go out. We will not let the lamp go out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We will keep the lamp burning on the altar. And when it comes our time to pray at the power tower, we will know, even though it may be just us going up, that we are making a difference and that God looks at our faithfulness. But I prophesied Sunday night there'd come a day that we would all come into the auditorium as a group. And there would come a day, I'm just prophesying, declaring, foretelling, that there will be prayer in this auditorium day and night. Just like it's gone on in the power tower, it will go on in the auditorium. And the churches across America and people groups across America will be able to pray with us day or night. Hallelujah. Anytime. I declare it shall be. Elebrando. And I declare with the Holy Ghost that churches and people groups will come across America, from across America, to pray with us. And others will join us by satellite or other means of media. We will call for the slumbering church. Hallelujah. To put on their robes. Hallelujah. And go through the door of opportunity. Y'all pray with me tonight. Come on, let's intercede right now. Let's intercede on behalf of other churches and other congregations across America. Let's sound the alarm. Let's wake up the mighty men. Let's wake up the mighty women who will pray and seek the face of God. Help me pray now. It's 2012. The hour is late. The storm clouds are gathering. But we will pray. We will not faint. We will seek our God. Church, let's pray on behalf of the church in America. Would you help me pray, intercede on behalf of other churches that have grown cold and weary. Lord, we will keep the fire burning on the altar. Lord, we will keep the fire burning on the altar. We stir ourselves. We stir ourselves. Kidabrieta will not get old and cranky. And cynical. We will not be filled with cynicism. But we will be messengers of hope. We're well able to do what God has called us to do because we are a house of prayer. We are a house of prayer. And Jesus said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. Right here, right now, speak to us, Holy Ghost. The fighting men, the fighting women. We will blow the trumpet in this nation. We will sound the alarm. Calling churches across America to corporate prayer. The power of the early church started in Jerusalem in the upper room. You've been there, Charlie. You've been there, Lori. Some of you have been there. And as those men and women gathered there and began to pray corporately, they shook their generation and turn the city upside down, and things begin to happen. I'm so thankful that I responded to the call to pray as an individual in 1966, 4703 Devonshire Drive, Wichita Falls, Texas. I went back there not long ago just to take a look. Here's where it started, my life. And I began to pray as an individual, but I began to really learn the powers when I started praying with other people. From 1985 to 1990, Gene and I went across America leading prayer in churches and teaching people to pray individually. 2-3-day meetings a week. And then the Holy Ghost spoke to me in 1990 when Gene and I were praying in our bedroom in January of 1990, he said, you're going to start going to churches, staying weeks, months at a time, and they're going to start doing corporate prayer. And it looked, I didn't know of anybody that was doing that, but I know there's no new thing under the sun. But I heard the voice of the Lord, and I responded to the call. And in July of 1990, went to a church for 3 days and stayed for 11 weeks, and the people were praying in the morning and the evening. And it just kept going for about 9 years. Hallelujah. David said,
I'm going to be anointed with fresh oil. And I believe that God is sending a fresh anointing upon the church. And it's the anointing to pray. It's the anointing to pray. If my people, huh? Even though the church may be wounded and battered, he's still there calling out to his church. He said, oh, my love, you are as beautiful as Tisra, lovely as Jerusalem, awesome as an army with banners. My dove, my perfect one. How beautiful are your feet in sandals, O prince's daughter. The curves of your thighs are like jewels, the work of the hands of a skillful workman. And he just begins to talk about how beautiful his church is. How beautiful his bride. He loves her and he loves the church in America. We have been battered and bruised, but he's reaching out to us now. And I see him with his anointing oil, and I see him pouring anointing oil upon the church again. Hallelujah. David said, I'm going to be anointed with fresh oil. Fresh oil. Huh? Fresh oil. Hallelujah. Mandrebrieta. And I see him anointing Calvary Cathedral, the praying church. The church has been praying 24/7 since 1995. I see him giving us fresh oil, and there's a fresh anointing. Hallelujah. Coming upon us to blow the trumpet, to sound the alarm, to call the church to pray and to seek the face of God. Hallelujah. Iraro. Mandrebrieta. Huh? They will not take our picture. They will not take our altar. Nandrebrieta. Because the lamp will not go out in this house. Irabrata. But we will keep the lamp burning bright day and night. We'll not have to say to anyone else, we're out of oil, we're out of anointing, do something. No, Rabota, we will not miss our day of visitation. We will not miss our time of opportunity. Now is the time. Now is the time. Now is the time. In 1992, I was ministering at this church, walking around a hotel, getting ready for the Sunday morning service, and I heard the Holy Ghost say to me, now is the time to pay the church off. Now is the time, this morning. And I said to Pastor Bob Nichols, I said, the Lord has spoke to me about something this morning. Can I obey God? And he said, yeah, you just go ahead, whatever the Holy Ghost has told you to do. And I just stood up and I said, today is the day we're going to pay this church off. The Holy Ghost has spoken to me. And before the words ever got out of my mouth, somebody came running down the aisle. I thought they were going to attack me, but they already had a check in their hand for $1,000. And it just, by the end of the service, we'd raised what? I don't know, $140,000, $150,000. And we stood on the platform with Pastor Carl Alcorn, I remember, and we burned the mortgage. Hallelujah. And the Lord said that day, if you help me pay my house off, I'll help you pay your house off. And you people that gave in that offering, you need to remember that. Huh? Hallelujah. But what did he say to me that Sunday morning? Now is the time. Now is the time. We are the people. And I believe that God is about, I'm prophesying, that God is about to open a door of opportunity for this church. We don't know how we could do it. We don't know how it could happen. But with God, all things are possible. And God said to me, you're going to go to churches, stay for weeks, months at a time. I'd only been going 3 days at a time. How could this be? But God wants to expand us. Hallelujah. 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 Craig, it's bigger than when you went up. You and your crew went up on that first day in May of 1995. Huh? It was big that day, but it's bigger today. Hallelujah.
How big is it? I don't know. What all is it to contain? I don't know. We just know in part and prophesy in part. But I declare that God is at work in this house. And He's stirring us, Kevin. Rando re mando riki. Hallelujah. Somebody raise your voice. Somebody raise your hands. Fresh oil. I hear the Holy Ghost saying, even tonight there's a fresh anointing. Can we sing that, Kevin? There's a fresh anointing in this house. There's a fresh anointing coming upon us. God is anointing us with fresh oil. And I declare that the latter house shall be greater than the former. I declare that the uptown church will be greater than the downtown church. I declare the miracles that we saw in downtown Fort Worth will be multiplied in uptown Fort Worth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's fresh oil. There is a fresh anointing. Can you sing it? There's a fresh anointing in this place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just lift your hands and receive tonight. Just lift your hands and receive tonight. Hallelujah. I stir myself up tonight to take hold of God. I will not declare the former days were better. Those were the best days. Those were the good days. I will declare the best days are in front of me. We must declare the best days are in front of us, where we shall experience the glory of God. Revival now. The fire will burn bright. And others will come and light their lamps. Hallelujah. 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 I stir myself up to take hold of God tonight. Nay, we declare the lamp will not go out on our watch. Not on our watch. Not on my watch. Hallelujah. 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 And when David found out at Ziklag that everything that was near and dear to them and his army, them and his army had been stolen, the Bible said that he encouraged himself in the Lord and he strengthened himself in the Lord. And they went and pursued But there were some that was too weary to do it. But the fighting men, it was prophesied Sunday night, the fighting men, they said, we'll go with you. And somebody said, well, if they're not going to go with us, they're not going to receive any reward. Sometimes people get weary. Sometimes they get too tired to fight. So we that are strong and of a good courage, not that we're any more spiritual or any more capable, but we are ready now to fight. Hallelujah. We will pursue, we will overtake and recover all and help other churches that are weak and weary and cynical and frustrated and discouraged. We'll help them. But we tonight will encourage ourselves in the Lord. We will have our lamps. So when the cry comes out, when the cry goes out, I'm ready. We'll say, we are ready. We're ready. I want to stay ready. I want to stay ready. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to stay ready. I believe that God has readied. He's positioned. He's pastored a church in Fort Worth, Calvary Cathedral International. There's mighty men, mighty women who are ready, whose lamps are burning. Hallelujah. And we're ready to help others pursue and overtake and recover all, because we believe that God desires to pour out His Spirit upon America. America, one more time. Somebody help me worship Him, praise Him, magnify. Come magnify the Lord with me. Come magnify the Lord with me. Ronda, let us exalt His name together. David encouraged himself in the Lord. Why don't you encourage yourself a little bit tonight? Why don't we encourage ourselves tonight? Hallelujah. 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 The light is still on. The lamp is still burning. Hallelujah. And we are well able. Kiribriana mandora brikiribriatai. Mendribriatai. When the call comes, hallelujah, we will go through the door of opportunity. Oh, hallelujah. 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 I'm encouraged because I see many of you that we've been standing for many years. Hallelujah. I'm encouraged you're still standing here tonight. Hallelujah. Through many dangers, toils, and snares you came. Through waters and flood and fire, but you're still here tonight. Hallelujah. Kiramandara Brie. Mended. Ha ha. Hallelujah. 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 Okay. 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 Hallelujah. We say yes, Lord. Yes. And all of His promises are yes and amen. Uh-huh. Hallelujah. We're well able. We're well able to do. Hallelujah. Whatever we're supposed to do when the door, another door of opportunity opens. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to go a little farther. And Jesus said, let us go a little farther. Huh? I believe I can go a little farther. Hallelujah. 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 Hey. Mandri biri biri andri biri andri biri. Hallelujah. Kiri biri andri biri. Kiri biri andri biri biri andri biri.
Well, vacation Bible school students are about to get out in about 6 minutes. So I'm going to give you an opportunity to sow a seed into Gene and I's ministry. We've set aside our travel schedule for 60 days to work on this prayer assignment, give our attention and focus. And if you want to sow a seed to help us, sow a seed into our lives, you can make a check to Calvary Cathedral. They'll give us one check. But why don't you just pray right now before you are seated what God would have you to do in the offering.